Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word, and I trust that you are well. The Lord is keeping and watching over your life. We carry on with our study in the book of Philippians, and today we're in Philippians chapter 2, and we start to reflect on this life of humility and this aspect of humility and how God desires us to live humble lives. And Philippians chapter 2 reads, verse 1, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, one of the things about a church and about believers that are bearing the image of Christ is there's always that risk of disunity. And some of the things that break churches, that break individuals, break the relationships between brothers and sisters, between those that are of God, is actually the issues of pride. And you can think of how Paul speaks to, you know, the Euodia and Syntyche. These are ladies who have labored with him in the gospel, and he prays to them that they should be united, that the church should help to unite these laborers who have helped him in the work of the gospel, that it's possible that when we start to act from a selfish perspective, that we start to disrespect one another and we don't humble ourselves. You see, humility is an aspect that goes in both directions. I know at times we feel that all leaders are the ones who should be submitted to and who should focus on everyone should just obey and give guidance and follow their leading. And yes, that has an aspect of truth. But you see, fathers also are also told not to exasperate their children, not to provoke them to anger. That means there is a humility that goes both ways. It is easier for the children to follow if they are not provoked to anger. Likewise, also, it is easier for the parents to lead their children when their children are submitted to them. So there's always that verse that says, submit to one another as unto the Lord. There's a mutual submission that God calls upon each and every one of us. But this mutual submission comes from the seed of humility. What is humility? Humility is a place where you've got authority, you've got ability, you've got position and status, but you let that aside, you lower down yourself such that you can bring unity, you can bring harmony with your fellow brother and sister, to serve them or to hear from them or to bring them also at the place where they can be respected, they can be heard for the sake of Christ. And you see, that's why he's telling them that, look here, if there is any consolation of the Spirit, you know, if there is any fellowship in the Spirit, if there is any comfort of love, is there any consolation in Christ? That means if we have received the comfort of God, the comfort of Christ, the fellowship of the Spirit within us, then it must result in us showing affection, showing mercy to one another, and beyond that, being like-minded, having the same mind and having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. When people have the same mindset, the same love for one another, then they can have one accord. They can be in one accord. And what happens when we have one accord? It's like the day of Pentecost. God pours out his blessing. On the day of Pentecost, he poured out the Holy Spirit because the believers were in one accord, praying together in the upper room. There was unity. Psalms tells us, the book of Psalms tells us that where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. You know, it is like the anointing oil that pours from the head of Aaron to down to his face, down to his beard, to his skirt. That means wherever there is unity, wherever brothers dwell together in unity, then the Lord commands a blessing. And this blessing comes when people humble themselves, when people submit themselves. When you look at your brother and you see that, you see Christ died for this one too. When you look at your spouse, when you look at your wife, at your husband, that you know that Jesus died for them too. Jesus loves them. They are also children of God. They also have a father that is concerned for them, that will defend them. When you think of that, when you think of your spouse as someone too that has a father that is ready to defend them, then it will teach you to be careful about it. When you have one accord, one mind, then the Lord commands a blessing. Think of the early church. The believers were of one accord. They lived together. There was one mind. They shared their possessions until there was none among them that lacked. There was no poor person among them because they did not consider anything of their own, anything of themselves, but they considered each and every one of them to be of value. And the Bible tells us that when we live this kind of life, where it is not about a personal ambition, but it is a corporate ambition. What is our corporate agenda? To reach lost souls, to reach the world for the gospel. When our corporate goal, when our corporate vision must be to increase the kingdom of God, then to build the kingdom of God, we must. It's not about my church or my congregation or my members or my ministry, but it's about, are we doing this for Jesus? This is where cooperation and understanding comes in. Yes, God has called us to different ministries, to different guidances, to different direction. But in all those things, if we submit ourselves to God and work together, then we shall be able to achieve the plans and purposes of God. That's what the Bible says. If we have a lowliness of mind, if we have a humility of mind, then we can consider others better than ourselves. And if we look not only at our own interests, but also in the interest of others, then we shall be able to grow better. And you can think of even how later on when he speaks in this chapter where he speaks about Epaphroditus. You see, he says that he is the one who is always thinking about you. You know, he was sick that, you know, he prayed for them. He speaks of Timothy, someone who does not only look at his own interests, but also in the interest of others. Paul really had a mindset of humility and is crying to the church, please do have this mind of humility. But there is also a perfect example of humility. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let this humility be in you, that who, being in very nature God, that means that Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, was God himself. He was the Word. He was God himself. And the Bible says that he humbled himself and took on the form of a human being. He was found in appearance as a man. That was a great humility, that God himself, the Word, becomes incarnated as a human being. The Creator becomes the created so that he can redeem the created beings to come back into union with God. You can imagine he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That means if it was about equality, the Father and the Son are equal. They are co-equals. But the Son humbled himself,
found in appearance as a man. He became a man, fully as a man. That means that's why as a baby he could be killed. And that is why the parents had to run with him. God has to send the angel to speak to Joseph in the dream and tell him to leave and run to Egypt. And that is why they have to run. And that is why he was killed on the cross. He was fully as a man. He hungered. He was hungry. He needed to pray. He was thirsty. He cried out in pain, in anguish. He had moved with compassion. He went through every human emotion. The Bible tells us he was tempted in every way possible, yet was not found with sin. He was not found with any sin because he depended on God. The Bible says he committed himself to God, who was able to save him. Now, God himself, the pre-incarnate God, humbled himself, a son, to be a man. And he became a man so that he can redeem you and me. This is the kind of mindset that we are told to have. That it's not about your rights and privileges. It's not about having your own way each and every time. Marriages work when people submit themselves, when humility is there. Be it the man, be it the woman. When you submit to one another as unto the Lord, you can see how Christ himself submits himself to the Father. Yes, they are equal. Yes, he has every right. In fact, that is why he says, no one takes my life of my own accord, but I lay it of my own accord. If we learn, if we mutually submit to one another, if we humble ourselves to our leaders, humble ourselves to our parents, humble ourselves to in our marriages, humble ourselves in the church, just as Christ did. He humbled himself. He became a servant. And the Bible says, and he became even obedient, even to the point of death. Death on a cross. Death on the cross was the lowliest of deaths. It was the most humbling because you have to be crucified naked. It is a painful process. It is actually long torture. And when one is humbled in that way, this is how the Son of God, God himself, came and humbled himself as a man, took on our shame, willingly laid down his life in shame, in pain, in embarrassment, in torture, that we may be saved, that those that receive him, that those that believe in his name may become sons of God, that indeed when we come to be children of God, someone paid the price for it. So it was the lowliest of deaths that he could have ever encountered, but he took it up. So God is saying there are things that you will do. Men will abuse you. You will lower down your back. Men will walk over it. But there's a greater reward that the Father is ready to give. That is why the Bible says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth must bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The way to exaltation in the kingdom of God is humility. God says he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That means that when you are proud, it's not actually the situation that will fight you. It is God himself that will fight you. You want to be an enemy of God, be proud. Pride goes before a fall. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven things that are detestable to him. A proud look. Anything that starts with pride, God opposes it. The Bible tells us, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. There is a certain humility of the Spirit that those that have walked with God have. Think of Moses. The Bible says he was the meekest man on the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There is a certain humility of the spirit that God calls us to have. When we humble ourselves, when our hearts are not lifted up, when men praise you, when men want to exalt you, return the glory to God. Return the glory to God. Do not accept it. Herod spoke, and he spoke so powerfully, and people said, oh, this is the voice of a God. This is not the voice of a man. Because Herod did not give glory to God, the cherubim struck him dead, and he was eaten with worms. Paul and Silas, when they men wanted to sacrifice to them, saying the gods have come in human flesh, they tore their clothes and said, no, we are just but mere men, like you, men of like passions. Never allow yourself to be too exalted that God will resist you. Too proud that God will resist you. God can use a child to speak to you. Humble yourself. God can use someone much younger than you to speak to you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. There is great power, there is great wealth in humility. There is great grace in those that submit themselves to God. I pray that God shall help us and help you and help all of us to maintain a humility of the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us this morning, calling us to submit ourselves to you, then submit ourselves to one another in humility of the Spirit and in humbleness, in meekness, because indeed you have called us to esteem others, to not think of ourselves too highly, but to esteem others better than ourselves. And by that, you are able to pour out a blessing upon us, that indeed let that mind that was in Christ Jesus, who did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but humbled himself and was found in appearance as a man. He came in the likeness of weak man, sinful man, that he might make us sons of God. I praise you. I worship you, God. Thank you that the captain of our salvation was made in every way like us, that he can bear our sins, he can understand our weaknesses. I thank you for your children. I pray that you walk with them. I pray for humility. I pray for unity in churches. I pray for a restoration of that early church love for one another, that in all these things, may you help us. Forgive us where we have failed. Forgive us where we have walked in pride, where we've thought of our own ways, of our own interests. Cleanse our hearts, purify us, and make us whole. We commit this day before you. Go ahead of us. Strengthen us. Watch over us. Those that are unwell, we pray for healing over them. Touch them, deliver them, and be a shield and a portion over all things. We trust you. We honor you, and we adore you. We give you glory. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Shalom and blessed, blessed day.